Hi there, this is Grace and welcome to Beyond Domestic Violence. Because this is the very first of the series, I wish to take a little bit of time to let you know who I am. Firstly, I am not a therapist and this podcast is not considered giving you advice. I'm just sharing what worked for me. So please make sure that you speak to someone that you trust, a professional person, and follow their advice. This is not intended to be advice given. So one of the things that happened for me is the recognition that I have post-traumatic stress. Now, I used to think that it happened to people who had, you know, extreme physical violence or sexual abuse or they've been to war. I didn't realize that there is such thing as chronic post-traumatic stress. And that's more like a drip feeding of continual stress that just gets to the point where the straw breaks the camel's back. So in this podcast, I'm sharing with you tips and tools and techniques that I've learned for myself, as well as modalities that I've learned from, and also the gems and things that I've picked up with my counselor. The first thing I wish to say off the bat is if you haven't got a trauma-informed therapist, please get one. One of the things that happened for me is I learned lots of different modalities and they've all contributed. They've all made a difference. But it wasn't until I spoke to a trauma-informed counselor that my world changed. When you're in trauma, and if you're in a domestic violence situation, I can pretty much guarantee that you have trauma going on. You may even have post-traumatic stress or chronic post-traumatic stress. I know they've taken that element of chronic out, but I still wish to speak about it because it is different. Post-traumatic stress is usually a one-off situation that has given you the stress. So one of the things that I wish to share is I keep hearing from people, why don't they just leave? And I know it sounds really simple, especially when there's, you know, extreme violence or, you know, you've had strangulation, when there's kids at risk. However, you've got to understand the trauma brain. And the best way to describe it is a frog in water. If you actually have a pot of water on a stove and it's boiling, the water's boiling, and you place a frog in it, the frog jumps out immediately. So those people who are saying, why don't they just leave? It's because they're not in trauma. They're not in survival brain. They haven't been conditioned over many years. And when I say many years, the relationship might be new, but generally speaking, if you're susceptible to domestic violence, there could be some childhood stuff that happened or other things that happened that was stacking and stacking and stacking. And so it made you vulnerable to this type of personality. So when someone says, why don't they just leave? They're functioning from their whole brain. They've got the ability to see possibilities. They've got the strength and security and the energy to actually recognize, gee, I wouldn't stay in there. They can see that even if the water's not boiling yet, it's going to start, right? The gas is going to get turned on soon. But when you're in the relationship and when you first got in, the water was not only not hot, it was beautiful. It was just the most balming, beautiful. Oh, this is great. I could swim in here all day. And some people might think I've found the relationship that I've been looking for my whole life. One of the things that has been proven is that perpetrators are happy to wait up to a year to 2 years before they start the perpetration of the physicalness or the most more overt abuse. But what you've got to realize is them being nice for the first year or 2 years is the perpetration as well. It just doesn't feel like it. And so when you get to the point where the water's boiling, you've been hit or yelled at or gaslit or whatever it is, you can't tell that that is something that's normal behavior for them because your facts, the past precedence shows they're beautiful, they're kind. So this just must be unusual. They must be stressed. It must be a one-off thing. And then there's the love bombing, which we will get into, you know, during these weeks ahead. But love bombing is like an addiction, no different to addiction to heroin or alcohol or whatever it is. So you're addicted to this nice cycle. You believe it. And then you get the abuse and you don't believe the abuse. You think something, you've done something or they're just tired or, you know, make allowances. And when you actually start to become trauma-informed, you will get the information that, oh, hang on a minute. what's actually true is the perpetration of violence, that they're actually not nice people. And that year and a half or however long it was that they were lovely to you was actually a manipulation and a way to control you, to get you vulnerable and safe, to learn what makes you tick, to get to the stage where they're getting people out of your life. And then you're perfectly set up for them to perpetrate the more aggressive parts, the violence, etc. So one of the things that I wanted to talk about today is that question of, why don't they just leave? I get asked that so many times. And my response might be a little bit unusual to the mainstream. Mainstream mentions, and it's highly accurate what I'm about to say, we don't leave because, for example, we think we're not going to be believed. We feel like there's shame there. We might not have the money or the resources. We might fear that we can't get a home. We might fear for our life or the lives of our kids. We might fear that not only will our children be taken from us, but we'll never get them back. So all of these things are real and true in the minds of those who are dealing with this. However, when I looked at my life and I looked at the lives of other people who are going through this, I noticed that there were some people that didn't have those points of views but still couldn't leave. And there were people that had those points of views and were able to leave, be able to maintain it. So I started questioning, what's going on here? What's the common denominator? Because it's not about the money, because some people who have money don't leave. It's not about the risk of life, because there's people who have their children at risk or they feel that their lives are at risk and they still leave. So what is it? And I realized the number one reason we don't leave, the very first thing before anything else, we don't leave because we don't have the energy to. Because it's true that there are people who don't have the money, totally alone, believe they won't be believed, a threat to their life or the lives of their kids, and they still leave. Even if they're going to be homeless, they still leave. And I realized you can have the energy and leave no matter what. So I started to look at what was going on in my life. And what you'll find with traumas is that the energy is so low that, for example, you might not want to even shower, feed yourself, get out of bed. You might not have the energy to have friends anymore, the energy to look beautiful, put makeup on, contribute to society. You might not have the energy to even think of how to get out of this mess. It takes on average 7 times to leave a domestic violence situation. So please be kind to yourself. You'll leave when you can, and you'll leave when you have the energy. So understanding, hang on a minute, so are you saying that if I can fill myself with more energy, I'm going to be able to leave sooner? That's exactly what I'm saying. However, it's still going to be uncomfortable. It's still going to need you to be brave and courageous. However, yes. So just like, for example, if you're in a hot room, it's summer, you can do certain things to feel a little bit cooler, open the windows, you know, maybe put some different clothes on that are a little bit lighter, put on the fan. These are all things that you can do so you can cope better with the heat of summer. However, you can also get an air conditioner, and within moments, be lovely and cool and relaxed. So that's what I'm bringing in the awareness of. You could, for example, just realize, oh, I'm in summer, and there's a natural process. Eventually, it'll become the situation where it'll be cooler. In other words, yes, it's really hard being in this domestic violence situation, but I know over time I'm going to get myself out. And there's nothing wrong with that, because it will happen. Be kind to yourself. It's okay. However, if you've got the awareness that you're willing to try something a little bit different and actually make steps to get the air conditioner in versus doing something to just be okay in the hot water or the water that's getting warmer and warmer. And it's going to feel different. And believe it or not, using that analogy, we're used to that hot room. We know it's not what we want. We know it's harmful to us or our kids, for example. However, the thought of change because of our points of views, you know, not enough money, threat to our lives, etc., we would rather just use our skills, talents, and abilities to either try to change this situation or at least survive it. And I really get it. And no matter which one you are, it's okay. You'll get it when you get it. You'll leave when you leave. However, if you're willing, maybe today's the right time to do it, maybe a little bit later, let me just plant the seed. There are things you can do to bring in the change, to give that frog in the water, for example, the energy to jump out before it starts to boil. Now, just like, for example, let's say you're a hesitant driver or you've had a car accident and you're a bit fearful of driving again. You can go take a self-defense driving class, right? And when you do that and they start to allow you to skid in a safe environment, as the car's skidding out, it's still scary. You're still going to get those feelings of, oh, I don't like this. But after you've skidded a few times in a safe environment, you'll start to realize, hey, now if I happen to be out on the road and I skid, I know what it feels like. And I've got the tips, tools, and techniques to save myself. So this is where I'm saying to you, in relation to energy, the reason you can't leave or can't even, you know, get up in the morning, etc., is about energy. And for anything to change in your life, anything to be created, it needs energy. Every single thing that's ever been created on this planet has started with energy first. So just like you can go and take a defense driving class, what I'm inviting you to is to take an energy class. So there's things that you can do to increase your energy, to turn that air conditioning to the temperature that you would like. What I'd like you to focus on is, one, your physicality. Because chances are, if you're depressed or in survival brain, trauma brain, you've compressed your spine, you might be slouching, your body's not going to be sort of active and happy, because it's not. It's in survival mode. But if you start to just a few minutes a day move your body in a way that's different, maybe just dance around the room for 30 seconds, maybe do some yoga or Pilates or go for a walk, stretch. When you do that, your body starts to receive the information, oh, something's different. Let's create some energy. The other thing is your voice. Chances are your voice will be a set temperature. It won't be necessarily animated or happy or enthusiastic, joyful, even if that's an inner joy. It's most likely to be repressed, suppressed, quiet, shaky, not confident. So if you can change your voice, and that could be laughing out loud, it could be singing out loud, it could be screaming. That again lets your body know, oh, something's different. Let's get some energy in. And breath. Usually when you're depressed, you're very shallow breathing. It's chest breathing, not belly breathing. And chances are your adrenals have been hit. Cortisol is high in the body. So your vagus nerve, not happening. So we will be getting into, you know, vagus nerve breaths and exercises over these next few weeks of podcasts to give you information on things you can do to bring in energy. But you would know. If a friend makes you feel good, go see that friend, go call that friend. If there's a particular comedian that you like, go down the, you know, the YouTube rabbit hole and watch their stuff. Start to inject your life with things that actually bring energy in. And yes, it's going to take you an effort to do that. And some of you listening might go, that's just like asking me to go to the gym 3 times a week. I know it'll be good for me, but I don't have, you got it, the energy to even get in the car, let alone get to the gym. Now, if you're one of those people where the energy is so weak that it's hard for you to even get out of bed, that's okay. Don't resist it. Ask your body to just visualize it. Take a few moments when you wake up or when you're just going to bed. Just visualize. Visualize moving. Visualize dancing or whatever it is that makes you happy. Visualize having a bath if the bathing makes you feel relaxed. Anything that brings you joy, do it. Visualize it. It's been proven scientifically that even visualizing the body to a greater extent believes that the body, the physical body, is actually doing the act. So it'll send blood to that area. It'll recognize something's different. It's why, you know, Olympic athletes spend so much time on their biofeedback machines. In fact, I think the ratio is higher. They spend more time on the machines and getting their body through visualization and paying attention to what brainwaves they're in for their particular sport than actually physically doing that particular sport that they do. Because science has realized, just thinking about it, the body doesn't know the difference. And what's been happening is you've been in survival mode and you've been thinking about the bear. You've been focusing in on the problem. So the very first thing I want you to realize, this, you know, number one podcast on Beyond Domestic Violence, is, oh, so even though I know it's wrong, even though I know that I need to get out, even though I know something just feels off, even though I'm in fear for my life, even though, you know, I've got all these narratives going on, and a lot of them will be true narratives, accurate narratives. What you're saying is, my very first focus needs to be on my energy levels. So if you can get different food into you, air, stretching, even smiling. One of the things that you can do is the superhero stance. You stand up, your legs are about hip width apart, hands on your hips, and you're stretching, your spine's nice and straight, your shoulders are back, and you're looking up like a superhero. Imagine your cape, if you want to be a caped superhero. And just spend a minute or so in that position. And they've proven that when you do this, there's a reduction in cortisol. And there's also an increase in testosterone. Now, testosterone is a risk-taking support. And believe it or not, even though you know what you're in is not okay, what's going on is you think there's a greater risk for you to jump out. It's safer for you to just try and either fix this situation or just survive it. And you are correct that the 3 months before and after leaving, it's a heightened time. There's greater risk. So you're correct. So you can see why you do that or feel that way. So if you're willing, just every day do something to increase the energy, increase the energy, increase the energy, increase the energy. Even me saying that, do you feel different? Increase the energy, bring in the energy, flow in the energy, increase the energy more and more, turn it up. Nice deep breaths, breaths from your belly, you know, sitting up straight, putting your arms out to the future, putting them on your chest, whichever makes you feel better. Bring in the energy. Do things every day that can bring in more energy. Even visualizing. You know, I had a client where she visualized watching happy shows. Crazy as it sounds, it worked. She visualized doing sit-ups, going on runs, wearing beautiful clothes. She visualized having a bath. She didn't actually have a bath in her house. And every day there was more and more energy available, more and more energy available, more and more energy available, more and more energy available. And the funny thing that happens is when you start to get more energy, you start to attract things to assist you. You start to become aware that the laws have changed. You start to find yourself talking to a police officer that allows you to know more about yourself and how the laws are changed in your favor now. You start to get information on maybe some health food stuff that helps your body, or a particular person that's really good to talk to that's trauma-informed. You might just meet a really awesome friend that believes in you and encourages you to know that what you're seeing is possible for a greater life for you or you and your kids is possible. However, it starts with energy. So instead of asking questions like, why can't I leave? What's wrong with me? I'm a bad person, or you've got shame, or I'm so lost. And all of these things are true for you. I get that. I've been there, guys. But just know what you've been doing is every thought creates a hormone or a chemical in your body. So if you're focusing on the bear, the threat, you're going to have adrenaline, you're going to have cortisol, you're going to be in your survival brain. And they've proven scientifically you cannot be in your survival brain and then in your free brain, your smart brain, your totality brain at the same time. So you can't make any wise decisions or be open to possibilities of what you can choose to change your situation. It's actually not even physically possible for you if you're in survival brain. So this is a journey, my friend. It's a long rescue. We can do it together. But as I said, please find yourself a qualified person who's trauma-informed. It's a must that they need to be trauma-informed. I saw other people, spoke to other people, but it wasn't until I actually had a trauma-informed therapist that made all the difference. So you're not alone. The laws are changing. I'd love them to change faster, but I'm celebrating that we're talking about coercive control. I'm celebrating that it's a crime now to be stalked. I'm celebrating that it's a crime now to be strangled. So we're getting there, and we're starting to have conversations like police need to be trauma-informed, jurors need to be trauma-informed, court judges, etc., need to be trauma-informed. Because when you're trauma-informed, you behave very differently to the normal person. So I'm not going to overwhelm you too much with other things. Just realize that if you haven't left yet but you want to, and you've in your mind you've tried everything, you might even have attempted to leave or left and come back. Please don't make yourself wrong. Just acknowledge now, I didn't have the energy available to maintain it if I did leave, or the energy available to leave. And so your first priority before you do anything else, you can do other stuff as well on top of it if you have the energy, but if you've got no energy at all, your number one focus needs to be on what can I do to bring an energy into my body, into my life and my living. And I assure you, if you bring in the energy, keep bringing it in. Your world will change. Change the energy, change your life. So that's it for week one. Thank you so much for listening in. If you'd like to know more about me, please go to choosinggreater.com. All right, have a beautiful week and focus this week on your energy and what's possible. And pay attention to anything that zaps your energy. You know, asking questions like, why is this happening to me? Is that something that brings in energy? And in my universe, no. If you're having negative thoughts on yourself, does that bring you energy? So pay attention, because chances are, as I said, you've been in survival brain and you've been stacking negative energies. You've been stacking things that zap your energy, take your energy away. You even focusing on the bear, the problem, or the perpetrator in a hypervigilant way that zaps your energy. So we will be talking, this isn't the only conversation we're going to have about energy, but just be aware this week, oh, what am I choosing to think about? What am I choosing to do? And is it reducing my energy or is it bringing energy in? If it's reducing your energy, if possible, now remember, if you're addicted to this way of thinking, it's no different to a drug. So it's not like, just stop. But if you're able to catch it and recognize, oh, I'm thinking depressing thoughts. I'm thinking thoughts that are taking my energy away. Actually stand up, move your body from where you were. So if you're on the couch thinking it, stand up and just walk into a different room. And as you're walking into a different room, say the words out loud if possible, stop, or choice, or next. And it's a way to recondition. You're saying, okay, that's that habitual thought that I'm stuck and I'm fearful and I have no choice and no one will believe me and my kids are going to get taken or whatever narrative you're used to saying and addicted to. If you just say stop. And then what one of the things my counselor taught me is even though, and you know, you feel that way or even though what's going on for you, I now know I can choose something different. And do a superhero stance or take an action that makes you bring in energy. And eventually the stacking will go from the negative stacking into the positive stacking and you'll have more energy. And when you have more energy, they can't perpetrate on you as much. And as I said, you'll be shown ways that you can leave in a safe way. So trust the process. As I said, it's a long rescue. I'm here for you. Please, please find somebody who's trauma-informed. Go on to Facebook and find some pages that will facilitate you having more energy and feeling that safe security and support, safety, security and support. Now, naturally, if you going onto that Facebook is going to put you at risk, obviously don't do that. Just do whatever you can to increase your energy. And soon, before you know it, you're going to feel better and better and better. I remember there was one day I woke up and I was just like, what is this? Just something felt really different. And I realized I was happy that I wasn't feeling that stress. And it was just this beautiful moment. And I was like, wow, okay, let's keep going. So it's just like, you know, I had a car accident and I had to work on my knee bends so I could walk again. And some days it felt like nothing was changing, nothing was happening. And then one day I woke up and my knee just dropped to 90 degrees, the bend. I was like, oh my gosh. So it's a bit like that. When you're working with trauma, sometimes you can feel like, no, the energy isn't, I'm doing the energy thing, but it's not happening. And then one day it's just like, boom, something's changed. So remember guys, change the energy, change your life. The number one reason we can't leave is because we don't have the energy to do so. So focus on the energy, do whatever you can to increase it and be aware of all the things that you do and say and be that reduce your energy and do the stop. What else is possible? Okay, take care and I'll catch you next week. Bye.